No More with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're joined by Dr. Daniel Pipes. He was actually one of our very first guests in Secure Freedom Radio, and it is always a pleasure to have him back with us. We are catching up with him in Jerusalem at the moment, I believe, and very, very pleased to be doing so. Daniel, we're drilling down on a number of issues involving the Middle East and the challenges that it represents to us, so it's especially appreciated that you've been able to find a few minutes for us. You've written recently in National Review Online about the Gaza episode of the past week or so. Speak to us about the ceasefire and, more importantly, what really is going to determine the future of Gaza, as you see it.
The ceasefire was deemed a victory by Hamas, but that's no surprise. It was quite unpopular in Israel, but I think it was the right thing for the Israeli government to do, in that the government set out with limited ambitions, achieve those ambitions, and stop. It's a mistake. It's usually a fatal mistake when a government gets big eyes with the eating and decides to keep going. Looking to the future, I am, as you mentioned, in Israel, and I've been talking to a number of officials, and I get a sense of a divide. On the one hand, you have some who see this as merely a temporary stopgap measure, and just as there was a Hamas attack on Israel in 2008, now there is in 2012, so there will be another one, and that nothing much has changed. There is, however, a second point of view, which I'm finding increasingly convincing, that in fact things have changed. Many things have changed. It is the longer range rockets, the Fajr 5, that reach Tel Aviv and Jerusalem from Gaza. It is the new government of Morsi, which is actually more constrained in some ways than Mubarak, because Morsi is connected to the leadership in Hamas, which is all Muslim Brotherhood, in a way that Mubarak was not. Mubarak had let them, had no concern for them really, and Morsi does. Between these two new factors, there's an awareness in the outside world that the attacks in Gaza are serious. It's no longer just Sderot. It's now the major cities, the population centers. The seriousness, I mean, it was always serious from a humanitarian point of view, but serious from a strategic point of view. This can upset the balance. And there is an interpretation here that Morsi wants, will give a quiet period, will constrain the arms going into Gaza in return for having a free hand in Egypt and being able to have full control, such as he's arrogated for himself a few days ago. I began on the first line thinking this is just one more ceasefire. But increasingly, as I've gone through these discussions, I've become convinced that this is something different. I'd also say it's something different in another way, that the Israeli government, which historically fought wars of existence, the aftermath of which one didn't know whether it'd be in Israel or not, 1948, 49, 1967, 1973, you know, everything was at stake. Now, in the last decade, has fought three wars, 2006, 8, 9, and now 12, in which it was obvious that Israel would win. Never was any doubt of that. And the real battlefield was not so much the military battlefield, which, of course, was important, but more important was the psychological, political, diplomatic, PR, media battlefield, how the fighting was perceived. And for the first time, after two inept wars, the Israelis have learned how to do this. And I think that has major consequences.
Well, let's visit about sort of next steps, if we can, Daniel Pipes. You've written in your National Review Online piece about the Philadelphia Corridor. Tell us what that is, and tell us how it relates to some of the factors that you've indicated have changed. The Mohamed Morsi arrival on the scene as president of Egypt and willing to help Hamas, and the prospect in particular that the United States might somehow become involved in trying to police that area, the crossing that it contains to Gaza from Sinai.
The Philadelphia Corridor was established by the Israelis. The name is a random one that the military chose years ago to separate Egypt, the town of Rafah in Egypt from the town of Rafah in Gaza. It was 100 meters wide, in other words, not very wide. And in 2005, shortly after the Israelis withdrew from the Gaza Strip, its residents and its soldiers, it also withdrew from this corridor under severe pressure in the second case of the United States government, particularly Condoleezza Rice. And that made possible for smuggling to grow. It had been already there, but it grew much more, and larger armaments came in. And they're now estimated to be 1,200 tunnels between Egypt and Gaza. And everything goes through them, cars, weapons, everything. And the import of armaments can be stopped only in two ways. Either the Egyptian government cracks down and prevents these arms from getting to Rafah, Egyptian Rafah. There's no way to reach it other than through Egypt. And the Egyptian government under Mubarak, under Morsi, were both lax about this. In both cases, one suspects, they didn't mind having these weapons go to Gaza, where they used to assault Israel. Or the weapons can be stopped by having no smuggling tunnels. And unless the Egyptians are willing to stop it, which could be the case, in my earlier scenario, it suggested it could be the Egyptians would stop this in order to have a free hand, Morsi would stop this in order to have a free hand within the country. But if they don't, then the Israelis have to take over. And the only way the Israelis can do this is by taking back the Philadelphia corridor. And the Israeli military leadership agrees that 100 meters is not enough, both from the point of view that you can easily build tunnels under it, and also from the point of view of security of Israeli forces, they get shot at. So they would want at least a kilometer, 1,000 meters, two-thirds of a mile, or maybe even more. And that would require probably pulling down lots of houses, which would create, of course, a major to-do. So it's much discussed. Clearly the Israelis made a mistake in leaving this. What should they do next? They were right in the immediate aftermath of the last round of war. It's a lot of ferment on this topic, but clearly that is a significant topic looking forward.
Yeah, and Daniel, we'll need to talk more about this with you, I'm sure, at another occasion, but the role of the United States in particular, both in creating this disaster, as you say, through the demands of Condoleezza Rice and now the possibility that we might somehow be implicated in trying to undo the damage is very worrying. But before we have to let you go, we've just got 2 minutes or so left. Could you quickly address with us the essence of your piece in the Wall Street Journal the other day about Turkey and both what's happening inside Turkey and what it means for the region and for us, for that matter?
Well, the great event in modern Turkish history was the defeat of Turkey in World War I, the coming to power of Kemal Atatürk, who ruled from 1923 to 1938. During that 15-year period, he instituted a whole extraordinary range of reforms, which yanked, in effect, Turkey out of the Middle East and tried to make it a European country. He died in 1938. For the next 60 years, his successors maintained that outlook. In 2002, exactly 10 years ago this month, a different kind of ruler came, prime minister came to office in Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, and the AKP, an Islamist party, which in effect is trying to undo Atatürk and have a new revolution and bring Turkey back to the Middle East and increase its Islamic quality and its Islamist order and create an Islamist order. And this has enormous ramifications both for Turks, obviously, and also from the outside world. Turkey, which has been a member in good standing of NATO, is in my mind no longer, it is still a NATO, but no longer a member in good standing. It is becoming ever so slightly a rogue state, creating problems, having bad relations, making trouble, and I see much more of that ahead. And I believe that after the Iranian issue, which is of course the most urgent today, is taken care of, I think we'll have pretty good relations with Iran. And I worry that Turkey will become the great problem for us in the Middle East.
A subject for much, much further and hopefully protracted conversation with you. Daniel Pipes, thank you for finding the time, especially doing so from Israel. I hope your travels are successful, and we appreciate you sharing your insights, as always, here. Come back to us again very soon.